bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Welcome to Amplified Houston. This on KPFT 90.1 Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener-supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey. It is my privilege to serve as the CEO of the Women's Home, and this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, I'm very excited, we'll be speaking with Kay Walther, who's managing partner at Blazek & Fetterling. But first, I want to let you know that Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home. Proceeds for The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottage shop. All right, let's get into it. Kay, welcome to the show. I'm very excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here as well. It's a new experience for me.
Don't worry. We have a lot of fun on the Women's Edition over here. So, Kay, you are the managing partner at Blazek & Fetterling. It's an audit firm that mostly focuses on nonprofit organizations. Can you tell us a little bit about Blazek & Fetterling, the history and the founders?
Sure. So about 35 years ago, Jody Blazek, who was a tax professional at that time working with startup nonprofits in the arts, she had a history with the Manil Foundation and Dominique de Manil, and she had formed a firm to work with budding artists and nonprofit organizations. She met Caroline Fetterling, and in about 1990, Caroline was a partner at Deloitte. And so she and Jody met and formed what we now know as Blazek & Fetterling. So that was around 35 years ago. And so what they sought to do was to bring tax and financial reporting services to the nonprofit community. At that time, for both of them, I think what drew them together was the fact that they were trying to create an organization and a space for people to serve nonprofits where your professional and your personal lives could overlap in service. And there was a passion for both of them to serve, with Caroline working with Houston Area Women's Center, as well as the United Way, and Jody working in the space that she was working in with tax-exempt organizations and private foundations and organizations that philanthropically were supporting organizations all the way from the arts to social service agencies. And, you know, in this passion, it attracted a number of us, such as myself. I was a young mother. I had been at EY for about 6 years, and I had two little ones, and a passion for service, and always had a passion for service. So when I met them, it was so unique to meet folks who were trying to take what they believed in ethically, morally, from just a service perspective, and overlap that into what a professional life would look like. And that created and birthed that culture, right, of service, serving those who serve others. And, you know, at that time, I could have never I could have never dreamed that 31 years later, I would be where I am with 82 employees and over 750 clients. And I'm in this group of folks who have this passion of service, and it's amazing.
It really, what I love about that story is it was two professional women who got together and said, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a way we can layer the pieces of our lives that is more productive for the community and for our families. And they made it happen all these years later. And I think audit firms are probably very overlooked in the landscape of nonprofits, but they're critically important. Tell us a little bit for people who are not familiar with the nonprofit world, what is an audit and why is it important for a nonprofit?
So in the nonprofit arena, right, organizations have a couple of responsibilities, right? I mean, obviously they have responsibilities to their donors, and they have responsibilities to those who have invested money over time in the organization. And whether you're a private foundation or you're a social service agency, you'll have different reasons for those tax and audit professionals who are there serving you. Right. And so for a nonprofit organization, many times donors are driving. We want to have an independent audit. We'd like to see you have that external financial reporting expertise that's available to you. And I think that's the one thing about Blazik and Vetterling. When we work with a client, we feel like we're partnering with that client. We are independent of that client. In looking at nonprofit organizations and understanding them, you're trying to understand why do they need an audit, who is looking at that, what kind of financing does the organization need to have? Do they have federal funding? Do they have state funding? All of those intricacies. I heard somebody say the other day that nonprofit organizations can be some of the most complex organizations because of the diversity of how they come together, and that we lump them all in one big lump. And they're not the same.
No, they're not.
They're not the same. And, I've
No.
had the pleasure within the firm of having a group of individuals who understand everything from new market tax credits to alternative investments and strategies around investing for long-term purposes. So, it's a wide variation, all served under the nonprofit community.
Nonprofit accounting and auditing is a really specialized field, and it's not something that just anybody could pick up and do, without a learning curve. So I think that's the really cool thing about Blazik and Vetterling is that is what you guys really specialize in. And an audit really is like a good housekeeping seal of approval. If you've got a good audit, your donors and your supporters and your board can rest easy that, things pretty much are good with this organization. And so it's a really important function for nonprofits to have a good audit because it shows the world that you are responsible stewards of the money, right? So it's a really critical thing, but I would say people don't talk about audits much because frankly, most people would probably rather go get their teeth cleaned than have an audit, right?
I think the key is, and having sat on boards myself, and somebody says, for my audit and tax professionals, what am I looking for, right? And what you're looking for are individuals who understand your business and bring value, right? Because for nonprofit organizations, it's not an inexpensive thing to have fiscal responsibility,
That's
right?
right. That's right. That's right.
Right, and you file a 990 tax return, and it's open to the entire world to be able to see that. And so, obviously, I started on the audit side, but our tax professionals provide this insight to those donors and bankers and others that are looking at the organization in a different way, and it tells your story publicly. So it's really both of these things are like tools that an organization should utilize In the best way possible, right? To be able to bring attention to their organization, to be able to support their organization. I think that as we look at nonprofits today and the challenges, that they're facing, right? Organizations strive to tell their story. And whether it be the Women's Home or any other organization, numbers tell stories. And those stories develop over time. And as the CEO of the Women's Home, you've got to be able to tell those stories, right? And understand. In the same way, we like to help our clients be able to do that.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting because I think for most people, like the balance sheet and the audit statements and the P&L, they're just numbers. They're numbers on a page, and they're missing the story that I'm so glad you talked about the story that the numbers tell, because there is a story behind every balance sheet. It's not just numbers on a page. There is a story connected to that. And the good nonprofits, I think, will learn how to use that those numbers to tell their story. You mentioned a little bit earlier that nonprofits today are really going through some hard things. Can you get a little more specific and tell us what those are? I'm going to actually hold that question actually until after our break. We're going to do a quick break and then we'll come back to it. Let us take a few seconds to talk about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work to bring you the show are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option one to become a sustaining member today. We are back with Kay Walther, a managing partner of Blazek and Vetterling, and we were just beginning to talk about some of the challenges that nonprofits are facing today. So, Kay, from your perspective, what do you see? What's going on out there with nonprofits?
We see a variety of things. There are challenges coming at nonprofit organizations from all directions. As those of us who work with social service agencies, particularly, you have the federal and state funding, right, that's had some challenges this year and is still remaining a challenge because there's uncertainty in a lot of organizations about how long. Will that be reduced? Do we need to find alternative and diverse ways to bring in funding for the organization? And then I think there's challenges about mission creep and chasing money when it comes to funding. And, it's so important that you stay focused on the strategic plan of the organization, the commitment to the cause, the mission, and the value. Obviously, I work in a public accounting firm, right? But it's the same because when we're committed to what we're doing and we're staying focused on where we're supposed to be going and making good choices for our people, right? For our employees and our clients, things come together in a way that we can't imagine. On a routine basis. And I know you've had that experience. My 31 years with Blazek and Vetterling, I felt the same way. But it's important for nonprofit organizations, circle the wagons, make certain that their management is committed. I think there's challenges right now because the cost of management is high. We're aging out in some of our areas of expertise, and we need to bring in a younger group of folks who are moving up the ranks to become executives, to lead organizations. We've got cybersecurity issues, we've got AI issues, and just that world of cost and expenditures and noise, right? Noise. That interrupts that mission and cause focus. That is how we get ahead.
It has definitely been a challenging time in the nonprofit world. I know me and a lot of my colleagues that run other nonprofits have really been challenged these last few years with just the changing nature. And I think you're right. I think there's it's our responsibility now to make sure that that next lineup of leaders is ready for the challenges that they're going to face. So let's delve a little bit deeper into high functioning, well-run nonprofits. What are some of the signals when you walk into a new client? What are some of the signals that you are working with a high functioning, well-run nonprofit?
Sure. Interestingly enough, and I know not everyone in the world wants to be an audit and tax accountant, but what I will tell you is that folks who do what I do come into an organization and auditors, accountants, we check a lot of boxes and things that we have to look at and think about. But the very first one, actually, in the risk assessment of the environment of a nonprofit organization is tone at the top. And I mean, it's right there on the paper. I'm not making up this is the Blazek and Vetterling way or anything else. The tone at the top and whether that there are open lines of communication and monitoring of the organization in order to reduce the risk of financial mismanagement.
So say more about tone at the top. What kind of a tone do you find is productive? And by contrast, what type of a tone gives you a red flag?
Okay, so when we're meeting a client, or maybe it's a client we've returned to, and we're having discussions with the CEO or the COO or even a VP of programs, that tone at the top, it sets the standard for the organization and gives the outsider the understanding of how management and employees are facilitating the organization's mission and expending their funds, right? And what you look for, of course, is that tone at the top of being transparent and open and ethical and straightforward, someone who wants to make certain that what they're the relationship that we're creating with our external auditors and tax providers is a positive partnership that offers information, right? The best thing I can do for an organization is offer them my expertise, right? We work within what we do on a routine basis. We come in contact with governance on a routine basis and executive management on a routine basis. And I encourage any of them to call anytime they say, gosh, okay, we just got this funding source and this is what we're doing with it. And or a variety of different questions that arise. We've got a huge capital campaign and we're trying to look at new market tax credits as well as the state funding, as well as a matching gift. Are there accounting things? Are there tax things? Are there things that you've just experienced that we can use in thinking about how we build this out? So that tone it's just key. And I will tell you, as in our work, we are also required to interview other people within the organization, whether that be about fraud, litigation, all kinds of different things. We're external auditors. We have certain professional standards. And you get a sense pretty quickly if the folks in middle management are not respecting the tone at the top. And that's a red flag, right? And sometimes that's just one bad apple. Maybe that is something that's more pervasive. But that's not our job from a management perspective. It's our job from assessing risk perspective when we're writing about the environment of the organization.
Got
Do they
it.
want to adhere? Do they want to adhere to those policies and standards, right?
Wow, that is so interesting. I'm fascinated by that. The transparency is the biggest indicator. But when I think about it, that absolutely makes sense. So Kay, let's shift a little bit. You have a long history with the Women's Home. We actually just convinced you to come back on the board. You had served on the board previously for 9+ years and had a variety of leadership roles. And so what is it about the Women's Home and our mission that really resonates with you? I mean, You could just be our auditor, but since we're so close to you, we can't have you as our auditor. and you choose to do a lot of your service with the Women's Home. Tell us about that.
Sure. Obviously, as I jump into this, we started out talking about Blazek and Vetterling, which was an all-women firm for a very long time. And we're still a historically underutilized business, and still probably more than 80% of those that are leading the firm are female. And so, my commitment to supporting women and how we do that within Blazek and Vetterling, from a cultural perspective, from a diverse perspective, has been just something for me that has changed me, right? And it has become a part of my fabric, just as the Women's Home has become a part of my fabric. I started as a volunteer more than 20 years ago when I came on the finance committee. One of my friends invited me to become a part of the finance committee. And it all sort of started at that time. It wasn't hard for me at all, because any organization that was uplifting, supporting women was a part of a passion for me. Mm-hmm. So, and I tell people all the time when they call and they say, gosh, okay, I want to get on a board, and what should I do? And I said, what's calling you? Mm-hmm. What is calling you? And I felt immediately called. At that point in time, my personal life had not overlapped substance and mental health issues, right? And in that 20-year period since that time, I have witnessed in my own family how important good and incredible service to others who are facing these diseases and trying to overcome them in life. Yeah. And every time I'm dealing with the Women's Home, it feels heartfelt. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful in my own personal life for organizations who have helped to heal and support, my family, my extended family. And that's what we want to be at the Women's Home, right? I mean, yeah. We want to be that net that catches those people who didn't get to be caught.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I both have personal stories of family members who very close to us who have struggled with substance use disorder and mental health conditions. And, at our recent luncheon, the chair of our luncheon very openly talks about her husband's struggle with mental health and substance use disorders. And I just feel like those of us who live close to it, who have seen it in a family member, it's just hits different. It is so much more personal, and the stigma of these disorders just kind of melts away when it's a person that you love with your whole heart and soul who's really truly suffering. So thank you for sharing that. I'm curious, Kay, you have really risen to the top of your career ladder, and you've helped so many nonprofits through so many difficult situations. And I can say it is wonderful to have somebody like you in the corner when things are not going well. Do you have any closing words of wisdom that how you have achieved the satisfaction and happiness in your life?
Oh, achieving satisfaction and happiness. No, it's not. As well as I do, Anna, it's trying to live in the day, right? The present. Because today is the journey, just today, right? And tomorrow's another. And tomorrow might not bring peace, but today might bring peace. That's an ongoing struggle, I think, for all of us who want to feel that peace and feel that joy. I get that routinely from what I do, right? And what I'd like to share with others is that serving others brings a bounty of peace in your life. And when you, I have a saying that's on the bottom of my email, and it says, doing nothing for others is the undoing of ourselves. And, you know, when we make the right choice, no matter how hard it is, it brings so much back to us, whether that's personal satisfaction of having made a good choice, right? Or, you know what, I'm giving back right now. I'm giving forward right now. I have no idea why I feel the need to do that, right? But we do, right?
Yeah.
We when it comes back around to us, we do.
Yeah.
So every time I feel like I'm making a hard decision, I just pray that I make the right decision.
Yeah. I think those are beautiful words to end on. Kay Walther, thank you so much for being our guest today. I really want to thank you for making the time to be here. Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer Road in Houston. It's owned and operated by the Women's Home, and all of the proceeds help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. Be sure to stay tuned for Gulf Streams with Weston Twardowski for the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. Thank you so much to Kay and KPFT. This is Anna Coffey, Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, over and out.